203.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand on, the ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His hope is heaven, that his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
In shade green pastures so rich and so sweet, tall leaves and dim hills alone, where the waters do flow, make the weary ones feet, tall leaves and dim hills alone. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire,
through grace we conquer defeat, oh, our foe. God leads his children along. Some through the water, some through the blood, some through the fire, but all through the blood.
Continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching, and we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. We appreciate your presence and the effort that you've made to come out and be with us here at Lindsay Street Primitive Baptist Church. We're glad to see Sister Mabel Haynes with us. She's not been with us a while now since she's living in Eden, and we've been trying to get up there to see her and haven't, so we're certainly glad to see her this morning. Glad she could come. It's good to see Sister Pilgrim and Sister Elliot back. Seems like it's been a while since they've been here. We're glad to see them. Also, I think most of you heard that Sister Nancy Mosley was operated on for cancer last week. I understood they took out about 3 inches of her intestines. It might have been more than that, but anyway, Sister Marie said she saw her yesterday and she was getting along fine. And we're certainly glad to hear that. She said she needed a back operation. I think she'd been planning on having one for a good while before this turned up, but she found out she had cancer and had to take care of that. But we're glad that the doctors were satisfied that they had gotten it all. But she goes back, as we say, tomorrow?
This week.
This week. She goes back this week to see the doctor. So We certainly hope everything goes well with her. Is there other sickness that we need to mention or make mention of?
Elder Duggins.
Oh yeah, thank you. I knew it was somebody. Elder Duggins, that you know, he used to fill in for me every once in a while, and he was boiling, you say, tomatoes and beets in a pot, and somehow spilt the boiling water on him from his waist down, and it's just a terrible shape, I understand. And we sure hate to hear that. And we know that that's burns like that are hard to heal. We sure hope that they can find something to salve or something to help that healing. Brother Keith, have you picked that one? I've got 231 is the opening hymn, and you may stand as we sing if you like, after which we'll endeavor to offer prayer, and we covet an interest in your prayers. As we endeavor to pray publicly, we hope your heart will be indicted with prayer as we try to pray publicly. They say prayer is a sincere desire of the heart. And my sincere desire this morning is that we have assembled together in the name of our Lord, and he's promised to meet with us wherever two or three are gathered together in his name. And if he makes his presence known and felt here today, all the efforts that we've made will be worthwhile. And I'm sure we'll go away saying it's good to have gone up to the house of the Lord. One writer said, one day in his courts is better than a thousand. And surely it is when we feel like that the Lord has accepted our praise and our worship and has met with us. A day like that is better than a thousand without failing his presence. So number 231, sing when you're ready.
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as well didst break the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page. I seek thee, Lord, my spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bless the bread by my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saves me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love. Oh, send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word and in thy book revealed. I see the Lord.
Forgot to mention that my wife sent her love to the church here. She has been sick all week. We went to the doctor Monday, and she had fluid around her heart and lungs. And of course, she's had problems with her feet swelling for a good while, but she has a place on her shin from her ankle to about halfway up to her knee. That's real, the bone is so sore she can hardly touch it. And she's walking with a walker. It hurts for her to put her weight on her foot. And this morning it was looked like the redness had gone up higher, so we're going to take her back to the doctor tomorrow. We just can't. The fluid, of course, her feet are not swelling since she's off of them. She's been in bed all week. But the doctor sent her for an x-ray and then called back and had us go take a CAT scan. And he said she's had a touch of heart failure. And she's just getting over the bronchitis. And he said that her sugar was way up. There's a touch of diabetes there, which she's never been bothered with that before. So we want to recover an interest in your prayers for her. Seemed like there was something else I thought of while we were singing besides my brother passed away the third day of July. We've been telling you about how sick he was. And he went into a coma and just passed away. Said there was no struggle at all. So bow with us and we'll ask the Lord for his grace and mercy to help once more. Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again, dear Lord, that we bow in thy presence, thankful that we can call thee our Father and our God, our Savior and our Redeemer. Thanking thee, dear Lord, for the Holy Spirit, thy Comforter, that comes and abides with us, leads and guides us. Our Father, how thankful we are that we understand and know thee. And we're thankful, dear Lord, that thou art the God of all grace and understandeth our needs and art so gracious and hast drawn us with love and kindness to thyself. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for this privilege here today that we can assemble together in thy name and to read thy precious word, the infallible word of God that contains the truths that sets our souls free and gives us the liberty, Lord, to stand in this time of sorrow and sickness in this world of sin and sorrow. Lord, we thank thee for the precious hope we have. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for faith that we might lay hold to those things that are not seen and the evidence of things not seen, but it's the substance of things hoped for. We thank you, dear Lord, that we can look by faith to thee and to call thee our Father, and to live in hope of a better day when we will be in thy presence, and there'll be no more death, nor sickness, nor sorrow, no more parting, and those things that make us sad in this world. But we are thankful for this privilege and this great country that thou hast blessed, and the freedoms that we have to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And now, Lord, we pray that thou would bless this service today to the honor and the praise of thy great and wonderful name. Lord, we pray for the sick and the afflicted, the aged, the infirm, the oppressed. We pray for our dear companion that's waited on me for 61 years. Remember her, dear Father. We pray for our sons and daughters that's fighting for our liberties on foreign soil, for our rulers and leaders from the local courthouse to the White House. And all that's our bounden to do to pray for, dear Lord, we ask that thou would receive our prayers and supplications, for we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading several different places this week, we kind of settled on the first chapter of John, and we've of course preached on this before. I don't guess as many places that I haven't preached on sometimes in the last 50 years. So I like to read. I don't think it's expedient. Actually, I need to read two chapters to get through all that I need to cover here. But in these first two chapters, this is the first epistle of John in the back of the New Testament. But the Apostle John, he says that the Lord Jesus, well, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes, with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So the apostle says that, Jesus says that in him is life. And in the Gospel of John, he says, in him is life, and this life is the light of men. And so the understanding that we have as human beings above the other animals and creatures that God has created is referred to here as light. He says he is life, and he is the light of men. This life is a light of men. And Christ is said to be the second person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, and the other persons of the Godhead, the Father and the Holy Spirit, conceded to him to create all things. In other words, the Apostle John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that everything was made by him, and there was not anything made that was not made by him. So he is our creator, and he is the source of life for this creation. In him is life. And when we consider that a cell in our body is like a marvelous creation, one blood cell, but trees and leaves and grasses, they all have cells too, and if they didn't have life, they'd be dead. But they all have life, and this life, he is the source of this life. And that's why when he tabernacled here among us, he could speak life to the dead, and they would live, because he is the source of life. And John says that we have, which says this in the beginning, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. In other words, in the beginning was God. God just didn't begin then. He was already there at the beginning. At the beginning of creation, God already existed. He is the eternal one. And this eternal one, John says, we have heard. We have heard him speak. And in which we have seen with our eyes. So they have looked upon this mysterious thing that we call life, which no man can figure out. If they could, they would have created life long ago. They try to shape it, and in every way that they can, but they just can't create life. They know all the ingredients that creatures are made out of, and chemical compounds and all of it. And they tell me that if you took the water out of us and most creatures, you could hold the chemicals in your hand. You just reduce it down, take all the water out, you could hold everything else in your hand. And the carbon and the oxygen and the hydrogen and the potassium and a little touch of this and a little touch of that, about 32 different ingredients, I think. And you could hold it in your hand, but there's no life there. And we can't put it in there. But God can. He can speak and he can say, live, and you live. And so, and John says, we've seen this wonderful power of life that we've heard him, we've seen him, and which we have looked upon. Well, he just said we've seen him. What does he mean by look upon him? Well, the look, that seems to embrace what you perceive by seeing. In other words, when you see something, to look on it, is to dwell on it, and the information that you receive to your brain by seeing it is described as looking on it. You could say meditating about it and thinking about it. So he said he'd heard this mysterious life, he had seen it, and he'd looked upon it, he'd thought about it, meditated on it. And our hands have handled of the word of life. So Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal, because he is the life, he is the way, he is the truth. He is the unmitigated, uncluttered truth. He is pure truth, incarnate. And John, trying to emphasize that he had seen it, heard it, looked upon it, and handled it with his hand. And said, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and heard, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which was seen, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So he is life, and he is light. Now, this light is not only the light by which we see, like the sun, that's not the light he's talking about, but it's the light of understanding that makes us human, that makes us moral creatures. You know, you can take a little puppy dog or a horse, and he has all of the mysteries of life in him that we have in us. But yet the thing that distinguishes us from animals and all other creatures is that we are moral creatures. We know God, and we know right from wrong. Animals don't know right from wrong. They don't have a moral code, I'll put it that way, to go by. They're not built that way, but human beings are moral creatures, and they know right from wrong. That's what distinguishes them, one of the things that makes them human beings. And that's why even though man has fallen and sinful, yet he is ever goes about to worship God, because he's mindful of his moral condition. And as we've heard and said before, that a horse and animals, they go around and feed all day long. but they never look up to see from whence comes their blessings. But man feeds, and he looks up and gives thanks for his food and for his health and for his prosperity, because he's a moral creature. He's conscious of that. So this mysterious word that was in the beginning with God and was God was manifested. This life was manifested, and the apostles saw it and heard it and looked upon it and handled it with their hands. And then they wrote this that we might have fellowship with them and with the Father and His Son. And then he says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. In other words, He's not like man. All men, you can find some goodness in them, I think, far as relating to other people are concerned. Some people will find goodness in them. But always some darkness there too. But with God, there's no darkness there at all. It's all light. And I suppose that would be why that when we are in His presence, there will be no more night. It says in heaven, there's no more night there, I understand. Not only would there be no more dying, He's life, so there'll be no dying. And He's light, so there'll be no darkness. And way over in the second chapter, I'll not read all the way down in there, but it says, it refers to the love of God. It says, but whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him. He that abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. So God is life, God is light, and God is love. But our Lord Jesus told His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, in the fifth chapter of Matthew, He said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So He said to His disciples, ye are the light of the world. When He was here, He is the light of the world. But when He starts this Sermon on the Mount, we have nine blesseds. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. And so, what is it that makes a man blessed nine times? There are nine blessings here before he said that ye are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It's because you've been chosen in Christ. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And he suffered and purchased you with his life. He gave his life that we might live. He died that we might live. And so these blessings, nine blessings, that's three times three. Three is a number of the Godhead. Three persons in the Godhead, and the number three is always associated with them. And you have three things, I think, associated with us being his chosen people, or being translated from the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all have take three specific parts in us becoming that. The Father has decreed, that is, he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. The Father has not only decreed that Christ should have a bride, but he has predestinated us, the scripture says, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. And the Father has not only decreed and predestinated, but called us. And the Son